The Justin Robert Young Podcast is brought to you, as always, by Stickers or DIAF. Man, we got new stickers, you guys. New sticker back. Go ahead and check it out. All done by Carter Johnson. I'm super, super proud of it. All you got to do is head on over there. Stickers or DIAF.com. $5 gets you 7 stickers. They are all vinyl stickers. You can put them inside, outside, shipped all over the planet. So go ahead and head there now. Stickers or DIAF.com. And by Patreon.com/JURY. That's where you got to go to support this show. Thank you guys so much. I can't even begin to talk about how much this means to me. Right now, there's a lot of business being discussed, a lot of really exciting opportunities, right? And in a real, real way, I'm going to let you guys know that the support that you give this show and Politics, 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 both of which are supported by Patreon.com/JURY, has not only given me the ability to do exactly what I want to make sure that the show is always as good as it can be, but more specifically, gives me a financial anchor to say no to otherwise very exciting opportunities that just would not be great financially or time-wise for this show. So thank you to everybody. If you are a patron, thank you so much. If you know a patron, thank them. Patreon.com/JURY. And, of course, by The Contender, the game of presidential debate, shipping now to the United Kingdom, Australia, and Canada. It is the game that everybody is talking about. Man, I got some really great text from Marketplace's own Molly Wood. Playing the game this weekend, having a great time. Find out what everybody's talking about. Head on over to thecontender.us. If you like Cards Against Humanity, you like Super Fight, this is somewhere in the middle with a political twist. Head on over, thecontender.us. But enough of talking about the show. What do you say we just go ahead and do it? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Man, I'll tell you what. Stealing this as my theme song without the permission of the Possum Posse was the best thing I ever did. Luckily, they are so nice. No one's ever said anything to me. And I just want to remind everybody, go buy every Possum Posse album because they're so good. I love that song so much. Welcome, everybody, to the Justin Robert Young Podcast. Random thing that just popped up to the top of my head. I was, this show's late, so apologies for that. We had a bit of a tech snafu over the weekend, but it is better now, and I am happy to be able to do this show for you guys. But in the intervening time, your friend, my friend, the world's friend, Brian Brushwood, tweeted out something yesterday that he was honored to make the list of D-list celebrities in Austin, Texas. Now, I would take umbrage to that, if only because, you know, Brian is not a D-list celebrity. I mean, I guess maybe. But that's not, like, well, I don't know. That list was not of D-list celebrities, which is where I'm getting. There was a lot of really, like, famous people that it basically just became who's famous that lives in Austin. And one of the most famous people there was The Undertaker. And apparently, The Undertaker, who lives in Austin, lives in a place called Bee Caves. Which, number one, is right up the road from where Brian lives. And number two, I last saw the Possum Posse. Well, I guess, no, I saw them when they played our show. But I last saw a full concert from them at the Bee Caves. The Bee Caves has their own little outdoor venue at this awesome little shopping mall. And so Brian was out on some crazy thing. And so me and Bonnie went to go see the Possum Posse play the Bee Caves. And apparently, according to this Reddit thread, The Undertaker is a regular around that shopping mall, which represents the center of town of the Bee Caves, which means that I could have been in the presence of the Phenom, the dead man. Gong. The Undertaker. Oh, yes. That just made me happy. I like the idea that at some point, the Possum Posse could be playing All Right by Mine, and I could be watching it, and The Undertaker could be watching it as well, and we could both be thinking, man, that's a hell of a song. Made me, brought a smile to my heart. Welcome. Welcome, guys, to the show. We got a lot of fun stuff I want to bring up here today. An introspective show, just to give you guys a little bit of a window into my soul, because this is certainly one part personal therapy session from me to you guys, and you know, a safe space for everybody to discuss the issues of the day, from the serious to the sublime. We're going to talk about Harambe, the dead gorilla, and the hilarious memes that have sparked up around the tragic death of a majestic gorilla. And I got a social quandary that I wanted to bring up with you guys. But you want to know, we're going to start with that. Also, I got a million people looking to analyze my dream from last week. A million people. Every once in a while, there is a nerve that gets struck with the email on this show. And it is always a delight for me to find out what it is, because it is so rarely what I expect it to be. And this was one of those cases. I thought I was literally just filling time by talking to you guys about a wacky dream I had where I snorted coke in a drug-free bowling alley and then got embroiled in a big legal snafu around it. But you guys reacted, man. I have so many emails. We're going to read all those at the end. But I'm going to tell you guys a little story that happened at Gen Con a few weeks ago. So, I'm at Gen Con, and by and large, because we were there to sell the contender, we were kind of chained to our little pop-up shop at the escape room right up the road from the convention center. Like, we were there to sell games. Like, that was our number one thing, so we didn't really get out a whole lot. So, I did want to go see one of the Double Click shows, because I love the Double Clicks. I love to see the Double Clicks when they play live. If they are ever in a place around me, I enjoy seeing their show. And you know, I think they've been on, since the last time I saw them, I think that they released the President Snakes album, so I haven't seen a lot of those songs performed live. It was really cool to go see them. So they're doing like 5 shows at Gen Con, and I go to see the one that is closest to the escape room. Turns out it's at this nice little outdoor venue, and it was a great time. So first things first, I walk in. I'm feeling great. You know, we had sold a bunch of contenders. I walk in and I see somebody who has a contender pin, like, on his backpack right in front of me. So my view of the stage of the double clicks is a contender pin and then the double clicks. That made me very happy because it's not like I had angled myself somewhere, right? Like, it was great. So they're playing a song, and I don't know, and I haven't done enough research to find out whether or not this song is from an old album or a new album or a yet unreleased album. But Angela from the Double Clicks, who does most of the singing, you know, and is the kind of major domo of the concert, kind of carries the mail as far as the banter goes, you know, makes a real funny introduction, because they're great, about this is a story about a real thing that I felt I needed to get out via song, and my therapist says is passive-aggressive. And the lyrics are great, and they're inspirational, and they're about facing somebody who is very, very critical by way of effervescent excitement. At least that's my artistic critique of the song, my understanding of the song. But it had one line that has stuck with me throughout the ensuing weeks. And that was, because this is really from the perspective of a songwriter and a performer who is facing down criticism and saying, no, I got to power through. And the lyrics are, you know, I'm an unstoppable force and you're an immovable object. You know, effectively saying that, like, I got to keep rolling. You are just here to kind of make me stay in this one momentary, solitary place. But I am a spectrum of light, baby. I got to keep going. So there's a line in there that says, you say you're proud of somebody when you should say you're impressed. Now put a pin in that for a second. Because I had another moment with another internet personality who was very impressed with some of the work that I was doing at the conventions a few weeks prior to that, and had sent me an email or a text saying, hey, that was really, really great. I've really enjoyed what you were doing. I don't know whether or not I should say I'm proud of you because you're a grown-ass man, but that's what I want to do. I said, no, absolutely. I love it when people are proud of me. But it drew a line that I did not know was there, and to be frank with you, terrified me. Because to me, at least as I'd understood it, saying that you were proud of, saying that I was proud of somebody is like the highest form of me pouring out my affection, which is terrifying when somebody says, no, this is a sign that you are putting somebody low, or at least how I understood it, is that, like, this is not a freewheeling compliment. This is not an honorarium. This is you putting somebody in a certain social caste. This is something that is a double-edged sword, that although it is certainly understood that you think that this is good, you also kind of are saying that maybe you're above it. So this terrified me. Like, how many people have I told that I was proud of them that all of a sudden I'm like, oh, God, no. No, wait a minute. Like, is that a bad thing? Have I done bad? Have I made people think that they were less than because I was saying proud and not impressed? And then immediately I'm like, oh, my God, have I ever told the Double Clicks that I was proud of them? Is this song about me? Oh, I was panicked. I was freaked out. Now, listen, I don't think that this song is about me. I don't know if I've ever told the Double Clicks that I was proud of them, although I'm a tremendous admirer and a great fan. So I calmed down a little bit, but it did remain something that I wanted to bring up with you guys. I wanted to bring up with the jury listenership. Is proud, when somebody says they're proud of you, do you feel less than? Is that not an optimum compliment? Are there strings attached to it? Are there elements that make you uncomfortable? Now, I am totally sure that this is something that, you know, everybody takes in different ways. So I don't think we're going to find any kind of consensus here on this show. But I do wonder whether or not it's commonplace, whether or not it's something that a lot of people have an opinion on. Or maybe it's just something that's personal. Maybe somebody at some point who you didn't like tried to kind of sun you a little bit, right? And be like, yeah, I'm proud of you, right? And maybe that sticks in your craw. All I know is that if proud is out, I need to find a new thing. I need to find a new way to compliment people that's like better than good job. I don't know what it should be. Like, I exalt you. I praise you. I praise your work. You are the divine shining sun, and I am but a basker in your rays. Like, I don't know. I want people to email me about this. JustinRobertYoung@gmail.com. Again, JustinRobertYoung@gmail.com. Put jury in the subject line if you have any opinion on this, because, you know, I don't know. I'm afraid I'm going to need a new thing. I'm afraid I offended people. I wonder if I offended people. Now I'm getting panicked again. I feel like I was in a really good place about this, and talking about it is talking up all these fresh wounds. We'll be right back talking about whether or not it's funny to laugh at a dead gorilla. Let me make a blanket statement here. You are welcome to tell me that you are proud of me. Welcome. More than welcome. Everybody is welcome to say that they are proud of me. And you know, I'll bet you a lot of this kind of has to do with just the general idea of praise and everything. And you know, I don't know. As somebody for whom I'm an expressive person, I very much enjoy all expressions of this kind of stuff. So, I don't know. I will say this, it's a great song. Everybody should go buy the Double Clicks. I don't know which album that was on, but just buy every Double Clicks album right now. It's a great song. And let me just say also this, just so this does not get lost, they have continually kind of grown as performers. They are fantastic live, and you should catch them whenever they come around your town live. If you're going to be at Dragon Con, I know that they're out there performing a million different times, so go see them. Maybe I'll ask them. If I run into them, I'll ask them. Be like, hey, what's up with that Proud thing? I just want to do 30 minutes where I just ask about whether or not, like, where are the lines, what the thought is on Proud as an honorarium. Instead, let's talk about Harambee right now. If you are not aware, Harambee is polling in various election polls. Harambee is a meme. I was watching Monday Night Raw last night, and as Seth Rollins battled the underdog from the underground, Sami Zayn, there in the front three rows was a gigantic picture of Harambee, the gorilla. If you're a listener to this show, you might remember that we had a conversation about Harambee a couple months ago. Harambee was the gorilla that was shot dead when a child fell into its enclosure. So to preserve the life of the child, the gorilla was killed. We talked about it as a news story. But what we are now discussing is the memification of Harambee. Because the memory of the gorilla took on a life of its own. You've seen a lot of people, change their statuses and stuff like that. So what is the meme? Why is the meme funny? I mean, as much as it's hard to dissect comedy in general, I'm going to take a guess. Harambee is not necessarily about this gorilla. It's not necessarily about the act that happened. It's not really even about the story and controversy that surrounded the gorilla's death. The meme is really about the reaction. About overreaction. Harambee is effectively just a funny name to stand in for every cause that forces people to change their statuses and change their avatars to represent some big thing. Because you can't exactly make fun of the fact that everybody changes their avatars into, French flags because there's a horrifying shooting in Paris, right? You can't really do it when somebody changes their status to purple because Prince dies. But for whatever reason, Harambee, the fact that a gorilla died and everybody kind of lost their minds about it for about 2 weeks, is detached enough from serious issues and yet bears the hallmarks of those more horrifying examples that you can sort of make it its own Coney 2012. You can make it a meme about pet causes. Which, of course, is not without its own controversy. Because you want to know who doesn't find the Harambee memes particularly amusing? I'll tell you who. The Cincinnati Zoo. They've had to delete their Twitter account because it has just been absolutely littered with various Harambee memes. If you are unfamiliar with what these jokes are, effectively, they are the overpraising of Harambee. The idea that Harambee can do no wrong. That he is a Christ-like figure. He's running for president. He's somebody that we should all aspire to. And in any way that we come into trouble, we should think, what would Harambee do? The But are we ultimately treading on pain? Are we ultimately exchanging grief for laughs? Are we mocking an overhyping of something, but in the process, hurting the people that legitimately had to deal with death and the idea that their professional reputation could be ruined? I mean, let's not forget that before this was a hilarious joke where people were bringing pictures of Arami to wrestling shows, there was a petition for the people that shot Arami to be fired. So you got to imagine that that's a traumatic decision by those who dedicate their lives to raising and taking care of these animals that then became a, well, am I going to lose my job about this situation that now is being played for laughs? So are the Harambe memes mean-spirited? Are they punching down? Are we taking other people's pain and wearing it on ourselves so we can prance around the Mayfair? The fairway. Getting giggles from everybody around us. I don't know. I mean, it is really funny on an abstract level. Like, the idea of the controversy that never ends and only gets more hysterical is a funny idea, right? And as the great man Mel Brooks teaches us, tragedy is when I get a hangnail. Comedy is when you fall down an open manhole and die. There is always, always ripe comedy to be made in other people's misfortunes. And if part of the premise of the meme is that this is overhyped and everybody involved is fine now, and so now this is a meme about the controversy, then I guess you're inoculating yourself a little bit from that. But I don't know. I'm very curious to see what you guys think. I've seen Hoppy Hobo in the chat room right now. Harambe is 100% not about Harambe, which I agree. But at the same time, how do you explain that? Like, it has to be this obtuse thing. One of my favorite follows on Twitter right now is WizKid Harry Enten from the 538 podcast. And that dude is legit one of the most listened to pollsters involved in this 2016 election. He's on a popular podcast, he works for a popular website, and he certainly has enough clout that people who pay attention to these things listen to him. And yet 50% of his posts are about Harambe, because he finds it hysterical. At least I am assuming, I am reading into his output. And it seems clear to me that part of it is that. And also, are we already thinking too much about it? Are we already, I mean, memes are just these funny little ideas that pop up in front of you and you laugh hard at it because you didn't realize how funny that idea was until you saw it. The idea that Kermit the Frog is dismissing your argument by drinking tea. The idea that Dat Boy has shown up, that a crappy GIF is now the most popular thing on the internet. The fact that a little kitten, normally the object of awe, could be grumpy. Like, funny ideas. They're these very, very, very interesting. You know, memes are kind of like, you know those contests where it's like, hey, who can write the most robust video game in the smallest file size? That's like what memes are to me. They're just these very, very, very efficient little jokes that work because they're so efficient. And maybe even thinking about it, even talking about it, is not getting the point. Why is Harambe funny? Because Harambe's funny. That's it. Nothing's meant by it. There's no malice behind it. I mean, sure, Jagoffs can take that, you know, however they want, and they can figure out, you know, that they're they can use the jokes in bad ways. But that's not the fault of the joke. That's the fault of the Jagoff. Speaking of that, I'll tell you what, we have one important poll that we need to get to, and that comes right after this. I have a very important poll that I want everybody who's listening to me right now to participate in. I need everybody to head to my Twitter. This is going to be one. I know sometimes people listen. I mean, God bless you if you listen to this show with your kids. But this one might. It's not going to be like F-bombs, C-bombs. We're not talking about dildos or anything. But, like, you know, you might want to cover the kiddos' ears. I had this thought. What's the funnier insult? So you're just yelling at somebody, but you want to get a laugh from either them or other people around you. What's funnier? Calling somebody a jack-off? Calling somebody a jerk-off? Or calling somebody a jag-off? Now, jag-off is kind of overpowered. Because it's a regional insult. It's something that I've only really heard from my family in Pittsburgh. And it has the very, very funny shortening of jag. I think somebody pointed out to me on Twitter last night, "Hey, put on your signal, you jag." That's funny to me. I really like that. But jack off or jerk off? I guess jerk also has the shortening. Hey, put on your signal, you jerk, but not jack. Put on the signal, you jack. That doesn't make any sense. And yet, jack off seems to be more explicit. Because people would actually use that to describe a sexual kind of thing. Go ahead and head on over to my Twitter. I got this poll going right now. Twitter.com/JustinRYoung. DCTV bot also put up a straw poll. We will take any and all data that we can take on this. But I don't know. I my heart says jack off right now. That's what I think. I mean, all right, think about it like this. Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump up on stage for their debates. Hillary Clinton is going to yell an insult at Donald Trump. What's funnier? She says, "Oh, knock it off, you jack off." That's really funny. "Knock it off, you jerk off," I think less funny. But "knock it off, you jag off," she's pandering to Pennsylvania. All right, what about two lifeguards yelling it at each other? "Knock it off, you jack off." I still think that's probably funnier. "Knock it off, you jerk off." It's funnier if they're younger and it's like a Steven Spielberg movie and it's kind of like adorable to hear kids learn how to curse. "Knock it off, you jag off." That I think is less funny if it's two kids yelling at each other. Two homeless people yelling at each other. I think jag off is probably the funniest there. All right. Two ghosts of Harambee yelling at each other. They both speak English. Well, all right. Two ghosts. They are both shimmering ghostly representations of Harambe that speak English. They are fighting over the remnants of a chicken pot pie. One of them says, hey, leave me that pot pie, you jack off. Oh, that's really funny. Give me that pot pie, you jerk off. That might, I mean, like, that might be gilding the lily too far, because we already have shimmering ghost versions of Harambe fighting over a pot pie. Knock that off, you jag off. Yeah. I'll tell you what, if there are any artists listening to this right now, I need this to be painted. In fact, I might pay for somebody to paint this image. Two ghostly versions of Harambe. One of them is saying, hey, lay off the pot pie, you jerk off. Or jack off. I don't know. It's really down to jack off or jerk off. But right now, I'm looking at these poll results and they are coming in. You know, and it's a landslide for Jagoff. But maybe Jagoff has the greater utility. Because if I call somebody a Jackoff, that is an insult, clear, right? If I call somebody a Jerkoff, I'm doing the PC version, the PG version of that insult. But if I call somebody a Jagoff, it's probably something that I could say in front of a younger child. In fact, anybody in the greater Pittsburgh or West Virginia area for which Jagoff is spoken colloquially, how young are you comfortable saying Jagoff in front of? Because I kind of feel like it's all ages. You can say it in front of your 5-year-old. You can say it in front of your 35-year-old. Hey, Yin's, knock it off, you jagoffs. I'm starting to feel what it is. Maybe that's why. Maybe that's why Jagoff is overpowered. Like, I'm thinking about the Harambes, where like they're kind of translucent too. And there's kind of one of those like sort of Lisa Frank, sort of like wavy kind of things to them, but they're primarily like white, almost like they were about to be beamed up to the Enterprise. Like they're kind of sort of dissolving into light, but we're catching them halfway. They've broken through whatever astral portal that they've needed to get to. There's two of them and they both speak English and they're fighting over a pot pie, which remains as real as rain. Like the pot pie is definitely still here in our realm, our earthly realm. I don't know how they found a way to eat it. Maybe they just covet it because they are indeed gorillas and their territory is how they mark their social standing, even in the nether realm. But now that there's two Harambes and they both speak English and they both want to be near the pot pie, they've started calling each other jackoffs, jerkoffs, or jagoffs. This is the most important conversation we've ever had in the history of this show. Your emails right now. Waffleophagus points out here in our chat room, which of course you can watch live. We are normally on at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern time on Sundays. But, you know, we had to make up this show, so now we're recording it on Tuesdays. Waffleophagus says, aren't you the person that thought the Brushwood children the F word? Why would you care about PG cursing around children? Number one, I did not teach all the Brushwood children the F word. I taught, apparently, Penny the F word because she overheard a conversation I was having with her father. I didn't sit her down and say, hey, here's the F word. That's not who I am. She heard it, and it's a funny bit that she does to make sure that, you know, we're playing around. We're joshing. Anyway, you can email me, justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. Again, justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. Put jury in the subject line. So many emails about this dream I had. Again, the dream was that I was in a drug-free bowling alley, and I snorted coke. I was then busted by the drug-free bowling alley. I submitted myself for a drug test, and then later found out that I had a $10,000 fine I had to pay unless I fought it. So I decided to fight it, only to find out that my lawyer, who was with me at the time and supplied me with the dream cocaine, was going to charge me $9,000. So because the fine was so high, I was effectively paying only $1,000 less, and I became immediately distrustful of my friend. Tracy from Seattle writes, I just listened to your August 15th episode. To me, the answer seemed obvious. Trump is your cocaine. The bowling alley could be, let's say, the DNC, a Trump-free zone. But you spent a full week in cocaine land just before you went to the bowling alley. The cocaine is not good for you, and you understand that. A lot of cocaine will probably kill you. But in small doses, there are sure things that you like about cocaine. Don't you like the fact that cocaine has a surefire plan to end terrorism? That could possibly not work. I think that having a plan sounds better than not having one. Hey, I know we're not supposed to bring cocaine into the DNC, I mean the bowling alley, but after bathing in it for a solid week, don't you think it would be funny to bring some into a Trump-free zone? I mean, what's the worst that can happen? If you get arrested, I'll represent you. I'd love to, win or lose. I get the media coverage. I mean your money. Sincerely, cocaine. Justin, I thought that when you brought Trump up just after the dream segment, that this was where you were going. Well, I didn't realize I was going there, but Tracy in Seattle makes a very, very, very good point. Thank you so much. Sean writes, just wanted to give you my interpretation of your bowling alley debacle. First of all, I do believe that this dream has to do with the new stress in your life and fears of new opportunities. The bowling alley represents the public space where we are expected to behave ourselves within the rules of society. The drug-free zone sign, and you have, in the past, liked to take these social rules and press them and push the boundaries. In this case, the cocaine represents going against the accepted rules and doing it only for a laugh. But when it comes to getting caught, you are very cavalier about getting away with it because in the past, you could do what you want and basically see no consequence. But now, you have some very professional opportunities and you are afraid of losing them if you admit to wrongdoing. So you will defend, and you never did anything wrong to the end to keep up these new opportunities. The reason I think the judge sentences you to the $10,000 fine, which might be a number in your head of how much you might make in upcoming gigs, I don't think that's true. But, I mean, I don't know. I'm sure at some point you can add some number up to get to $10,000. I go back. I say that editorially. We go back to the email. And if you were to mess up by saying something that would make you lose your job, you'd be paying that $10,000 fine. And finally, your lawyer friend is the fear that your friends will stab you in the back to get the opportunities you have been offered by maybe pushing you into situations that can harm your public persona. So I hope that this is somewhat insightful and I can actually understand as I try to write this on my 15-minute coffee break. So this one is very, very serious. And this, he was not alone. Ken writes, the drug-free bowling alley represents the new career opportunities unfolding before you. Snorting coke with your friends is something you've done or said in the past for comedic purposes that you're worried will come back to haunt you, closing the door on the aforementioned opportunities. If one of your former bits immediately springs up to your mind while reading this, that's probably it. However, the opportunity might still be open if you say you recorded it when you were young and dumb and apologize for it and never again return to that venue for the offending bit. Who the spiky-haired, fire-eating lawyer friend is, I don't know. Well, that's interesting. That's an interesting interpretation of it. See, the only thing with that is I really don't have any fear about anything that I've said before. Because I have a religious-like idea that no matter what I say that might be offensive will be balanced out by everything else I've said. I do believe that ultimately public controversies are often weathered by the sum total of one's actions. Unless you're slandering somebody or libeling somebody. In that case, that's just academic. And Matt writes, it's clear that this dream is telling you that the bowling alley and moderate drug use are both a great idea. If you have friends in the bowling real estate industries or both, you should suggest the idea of mixing bowling and drugs. Great business idea. Fun, memorable. If you remembered it as a dream, you're sure to remember it as a reality. The drug test bit of the dream is just a warning that all drugs aren't 100% legal yet. So find a place where it's legal or a good enough legit cover story for the business of drugs plus bowling. Or maybe it's just a great idea for a short film or feature-length movie or series, Jury's Bowling, a Netflix original, you know, like Bob's Burgers, but with no Bob, drugs, or bowling. Well, that might be my favorite. My favorite dream interpretation is that this is just a great idea and you need to get in to the drugs plus bowling business before somebody else does. If you would like to email the show, please do so. JustinRobertYoung@gmail.com. Again, JustinRobertYoung@gmail.com. Of course, folks, you can always find me on Twitter, Instagram, or Snapchat, @JustinRYoung. If you are listening to this right now and you are on Snapchat, then snap me right now and blow me a kiss. Of course, you can join the conversation at diamondclub.reddit.com. Stickers or DIAF. Stickers or letters DIAF.com. Brand new 7 stickers for $5. All by Carter Johnson. TheContender.us. If you're going to be at Dragon Con, we'll be at Dragon Con too. Live politics at Dragon Con. Contender exclusive, con exclusive packs available at Dragon Con. And of course, support us, patreon.com/JURY. Folks, if you find yourself fretting about how you compliment people, if you find yourself wondering whether or not Harambee jokes are funny, if you find yourself wondering whether jack off, jerk off, or jag off is the funniest insult, well, folks, remember, it is your old pal, Justin Robert Young, who whispers in your ear, please don't die.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.